Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us today. My name is Ken Swanson. I'm the lead Coleman draft analyst for Arrowhead Pride. This is the AP Laboratory coming at you with our first mock draft of the season. We're going to do that. We're going to answer all your questions in a mailbag. And we got a lot to cover today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Joined by Craig and Maddie already here. Maddie, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling pretty happy that we are lucky enough to not have a sporting game on tonight, so we actually get Craig's attention. It's not going to happen often over the next couple weeks, or I guess years. I don't know how long the MLS season lasts, but it seems like it lasts at least 3 years per season.
Craig, when does the Sporting KC guide come out?
The Sporting KC guide just constantly comes out on my Twitter feed. It's the main reason why we'll lose followers from now until the start of the Chiefs season.
Well, thanks a lot, Gregory. I appreciate that.
For the soccer draft, I'm taking Kobe Jones with the first pick. Is that a good pick, Craig?
It's you know Kobe Jones and Tony Meola, and that's it.
Beckham.
Odell?
I've seen him kick a soccer ball.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
Chad Johnson, oh, sorry, Ocho Cinco, also another soccer player.
He played for Sporting.
That was probably the best
player. At one point. He was something. I mean, I think he was just there for the preseason.
Yeah, he was a reserve.
That would have been fun. That would have been a lot of fun. Do you know what else is a lot of fun, guys? The KC draft guide. How's that for a transition? I think this is the first time we've talked about this on this podcast, guys. We're doing a draft guide. If you have not heard, we are geeked out about this. It's something that we've been working on for just in the works for about a year at this point, and it's going to be over 300 prospects graded. Over 200 write-ups about the prospects. There's going to be mock drafts. There's going to be big boards. There's going to be features. There's going to be all kinds of cool stuff about this thing. We're really excited to kind of release this. It's something that, like, we're all passionate about the draft, and so getting to do this is really cool. I'm going to throw this promo code out for you guys right now because, you know, while we're pre-ordering it, it releases on April 8th. There's a pre-order code that'll get you a big discount on it. If you go to gum.co, that's gum.co/KC draft, and use the promo code NERD, you're going to get a huge, ginormous draft guide with everything you know about prospects and how they fit with the Kansas City Chiefs for $6.99. So there's our little plug. Really hope you'll take a look at it. We're geeked out about it. You can find it on all of our Twitter stuff as well. Okay, fellas, let's do our first mock draft of the year. How about that? I'm geeked out to do this because mock drafts are fun, and we need to have a little fun around here because we've been stuck watching some really bad prospects. At least me
Speak
and Craig
for yourself.
Because me and Craig are primary graders on the quarterbacks and the running backs. Patrick Mahomes has ruined quarterbacks for me. I mean, I can't watch anyone and be like, he's good. Oh, he'll be fine. No, we have Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterback in the National Football League, who's 23 years old and also doing commercials and stuff in ketchup and out in L.A. selling T-shirts. It's phenomenal. Wow, I really talked a lot. I went full Matt Lane there, didn't I?
Yeah, like I was wondering if me and Craig were even on the podcast anymore or if this was just a Kent ramble session. At least mine, you know, I give you guys a word in here and there. But yeah,
do
no,
you,
we're
though?
Good. How you doing, Craig? Oh, you know, sometimes. I have to take a drink of water every now and then.
He's got to come up for breath. So what we did with this mock draft exercise is we took three mock drafts. We're going to do three-round mock today. We took three mock drafts that are out there that went beyond, you know, round one. So we took a three-round, a four-round, and a seven-round mock draft. And any prospects that were on two of the three mocks available to the Chiefs at their positions, we were allowed to take. And it really restricted the board significantly. And I think we were... we were kind of miserable going through it because like the choices were very underwhelming and not particularly exciting. There were some spots in there that were fun, but so here's we'll just start at pick 29. Based on our draft rankings, where we're at with our boards at this point, there were four players available that made some sense, that had high grades for us. Jeffrey Simmons, defensive lineman from Mississippi State. He tore his ACL recently. He's got some risks when it comes to with some off-field stuff. And actually, we're going to answer a mailbag question right now while we talk about Jeffrey Simmons. At Josh Moyler asks, do you think the Chiefs take any risks on players with superior talent but off-field concerns that cause them to slip in the draft? Personally, for me, I think it's going to be difficult for them to do that this year. Even with a guy, Jeffrey Simmons, his background is very nuanced. It's a tough situation, something that happened back when he was 17. I think it's going to be tough for them to do that, Craig.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be tough to do that. Again, Jeffrey Simmons is a completely different scenario, and I'll let Maddie get into that a little bit more. But anybody that's got any sort of off-field problem right now, I don't think the Chiefs are going to feel like they can trust him, like they want him on the squad. They don't want anybody that's going to be a loud distraction in this locker room at all. This is Patrick Mahomes' team. They want to keep it that way, and they want to keep a nice, healthy locker room and want to keep guys on the field, and they've struggled to do that with some of their off-field concern guys.
Yeah, and that's the tricky part when it comes to Jeffrey Simmons, because he's not a loud, locker room disrupting kind of guy. Everybody at Mississippi State loves him. He spent his 3 years there. He's kind of one of their leaders in terms of community service. He's the guy that they send out to local schools to give motivational speeches and just talk to kids and to help with football programs. Like, he is the face of their program. They send him to media days. He is their program. And they clearly feel like he turned a corner after his bad incident. If anybody doesn't know, I think we've talked about it before, but I kind of found a few more details. He was breaking up a fight between his sister and another woman that lived in the neighborhood that apparently had beef between the families, some kind of feud between the two families. They already didn't like each other. He tried to break up the fight once. It continued. The next time he went to break it up, he ended up hitting the other lady that was fighting his sister multiple times while she was on the ground. He has taken all responsibility for it, but he just seems like he really has turned the corner. So in terms of being a team cancer or even any kind of worry, I don't think he is that. The issue for the Chiefs is that taking a guy that has that background at 29 makes him the face of their draft. He is the guy that walks up onto the podium first. He is the guy that every picture, every headline has for an entire day. It's not something I think they can pull off. I would love to say if he was there in the second round, they could try to go trade up for him because he is that good of a player. But even still, I just don't know what the Kareem Hunt situation, they can make it through that disaster.
Right. And I think it is more about the media stuff surrounding it, because I do believe in the kid based on everything we've heard to this point. And so that's where it makes it difficult. He's the 10th best player on our board as we sit right now. So that's a guy that I don't think that the Chiefs can take. We'll just move on a little quickly here. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is available as well for the Chiefs. He's played corner. He's played safety. He's played basically as a nickel for Florida in his time. And really good football player. Had some tackling issues early in his career and has really improved those. Really impressive player. He's got range. He's got some ball skills. He's got the right mentality. He might be a good candidate. We also have Jerry Tillery on the board. Maddie, tell me about him.
Yeah, so, and actually there's an interesting thing that just came out about Jerry Tillery from Notre Dame here recently. He apparently played at least part of the season with a torn labrum, which you never would have guessed watching just the way that he's attacking offensive linemen. He's a power rusher on the inside. He's not unathletic by any means, but he wins by going through blockers. He gets to one shoulder. He clubs, rips, swims. You ever had a labrum issue? That's hard to pull off. So just the fact that he was doing that with a partially torn labrum all year just shows how powerful he is. This year was huge for him. He had had a very up and down career, so he got more consistent this year and looked to be like the force that he flashed in the years past. So he would be a guy that Chiefs would be drafting to get in that rotation on the interior. He's not a full-time nose tackle, though. He would definitely be spelling Chris Jones or playing next to him on passing down, so that's something to keep in mind when you're looking at fits.
I've heard some Chris Jones, Jerry Tillery comps in the last couple
weeks,
too.
There's like five players in this draft that are comp to Chris Jones. It cracks me up. There's literally five guys. They're like, oh, they're a defensive tackle. They're big and they're powerful. It's got to be Chris Jones, which is good. That means you know he's getting out there to the national media now. It's just funny.
Right. The last candidate that we have is the a guy that we're not. Craig, DeAndre Baker's available. Dre. Why don't you just tell him about tell us about DeAndre Baker and kind of where we sit with him right now?
We've talked a lot about DeAndre Baker because he's a popular name that comes up. So we end up talking about him a lot. Again, he's a guy that's comfortable in most techniques. He's a guy that's very solid in just about everything he does. He's just athletically maybe a little bit limited. We worry about his long speed, especially trying to carry vertical routes. And he's a little bit small, but he plays with the kind of aggressiveness that you want. His ball skills are pretty good. His press is pretty good. He just worries me a little bit from an athletic standpoint. I think yep. that maybe his development will be a little bit capped. He's certainly not the highest ceiling guy in this class, but he's probably a guy that can come in, play day one, and you're not going to get a ton of corners from this class that can do that. So you can't really be mad at the pick, but his lack of really true top-end ceiling definitely makes him our third best corner of the class right now.
Yeah, he's kind of a safe pick. And I mean, I just don't know if there's a ton of ceiling to him. We're going to answer this question right now that we have from the mailbag at DavidMeda7 asks, it's unlikely to see any value at positions of need for the Chiefs at pick 29. Feeling is Veach will move up to get his guy. What would you do? So, yeah, I think if you look at this scenario right now, the one we're looking at right now, it's trade up all day. And I think that's kind of where we're all right at right now. I know you guys probably agree. Is there anything you need to add to that?
No, I mean, I think what we ended up doing here, as far as our mock goes, is we did end up picking DeAndre Baker in this thing. He offered the best value of anything. We would like to move up, but we ended up going ahead and picking DeAndre. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, a little bit of a fight and a decision. He's a really good player, but DeAndre's safe floor and the Chiefs' need for cornerbacks made him the pick for us.
We'll have more to... Oh, go, Maddie, go.
I was gonna say, I definitely think the Chiefs kind of have to trade up. That's something you're going to see kind of throughout this whole mock draft we did, especially in the first round, but it kind of carried through to other rounds. The Chiefs might not be in a great position to make a pick that a lot of fans want right now, just because a lot of the way boards that we've seen in different places are falling right now, nobody knows anything yet. It's very important to say, this is pre-combine. This stuff's about to change like crazy once free agency starts and once these athletic numbers go in. So this thing's just early. But we did go with Baker. And it's funny, I'm going to open up the Komodo here a little bit. Uh-oh. I have the highest grade on DeAndre Baker out of all four of us that are doing grades. And I am the one that fought the most against picking him.
Yeah.
It's very weird because I watched his film. And like, I've watched him plenty of times throughout the last 2 years. I think he was a good player. I pretty much was spot on with what Craig just said. Except for when I watched him again, I was like, okay, he's very solid. Like, I can't really poke a lot of holes in his game besides specifically his size. And then there's a few athletic limitations. You know, maybe a little bit of over-aggression, but nothing that can't be fixed. So the grade ended up coming out really well. The problem is I'm just afraid that he's not going to even be an average athlete for an NFL cornerback. And that, to me, just makes you undraftable in the first round. So that's right. Why I fought so hard against it. But like they did say, like we were saying, he's a safe player. His floor is very high, even if a small, unathletic player. So he won out just over what the board we were presented with.
And DeAndre Baker could test really well this weekend. And I mean, that would change a lot of views that people will have of him.
Then my highest grade looks really good.
Yeah. Do you see that athleticism that he may or may not have on tape, though? Like, that's my struggle is... I don't see a guy that has an athletic profile that I'm excited about.
What size think, profile?
Yeah, and so that's, I mean, that's the struggle. So, like, even if he tests well, it doesn't show up to me on tape. And that's kind of where we're stuck. Okay, we're going to move on to pick 61 and 63. A larger pool here. I'm just going to name them all off real quick. At running back, Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic. Tight end, we got Caden Smith from Stanford. Jay Sternberger, former Jayhawk, now Texas A&M.
I don't think you can claim him.
We're not allowed. We blew it. Interior offensive line, Garrett Bradbury from NC State. Edges, Chase Winovich from Michigan. Christian Miller from Alabama. DeAndre Walker, Craig's guy, from Georgia. At safety, Juan Thornhill. At cornerback, Lonnie Johnson and Justin Lane. Guys, we made the right decision, I think, going with cornerback in round one. What are we doing here? Maddie, what's our pick at 61?
So at 61, we're looking at this, and quite simply, we can't go away from it. We do have DeAndre Walker as an option, who is Craig's guy. It doesn't matter. We got Matt's guy and Christian Miller. I overruled Craig on this one. He got Baker in the first. I get Miller in the second. No. In reality, Christian Miller's my choice. I think he's the one guy kind of all these edge players that we had left here that does have edge rusher one potential. He has the highest of high ceilings compared to everybody else. He's not there right now. There is a little bit of an injury history concern, but he's the guy that if the cards fall right in the NFL, he can be kind of the guy that you're looking for. And I think that makes him a little bit higher up on my list than somebody like Walker or Winovich.
And I think that's fair. Then we've talked about this. There's some athletic potential with him too. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important piece of this. We're going to probably have this conversation a few times throughout the draft, but athletic testing is probably the most important at the edge position. There's a correlation between your density adjusted athleticism and being a successful edge rusher. And those traits typically go in the first round. And there's a few guys that fall off here and there. So Christian Miller at 61. Craig, what we doing at 63?
Well, 63 came around. Looking at the board here, we just took our edge rusher. Juan Thornhill is tempting, but we're going to do something that a lot of people aren't going to like. We're going to go with my guy, Justin Lane, cornerback out of Michigan State. He's really
double dipping.
Double dipping at cornerback in the first two rounds. He is a long guy. He's 6'3". He's got a very long wingspan. He's a guy that played both ways at Michigan State. It's even as recently as last year, he played some wide receiver for them, so he has fantastic ball skills. He's a guy that's more of a zone corner right now, a little better off man, able to keep his eyes in the backfield. As a press corner, he needs a little help with his footwork, but his length helps him and it allows him to kind of narrow throwing windows. He's a guy that has that cornerback one upside that maybe DeAndre Baker doesn't have, but he's a guy that's not quite ready yet. So you're drafting a guy in Justin Lane that you're hoping maybe in year two is able to start on the outside opposite DeAndre Baker, and you have two guys that you're paying pennies to that are both good quality cornerbacks.
And I'll add, like, yeah, there are some struggles like in man and in his press, but his length, you're absolutely right. Like a couple plays he made on some slants in man coverage. Like, so he's still like, I mean, there's still some ball production even in man coverage. So I watched him today. I really enjoyed him. At pick 92, we've got running back Daryl Henderson from Memphis, running back Elijah Holyfield from Georgia. Edge O'Shane Ziminis from Old Dominion. Safeties, you got Amani Hooker and Darnell Savage. And at linebacker, Joe Giles Harris from Duke. And actually, we're going to answer another question here. At Brandon422 asks, I just discovered Joe Giles Harris. He looks like an amazing value pick and willing run stopper. What do you think, Craig?
I think that Joe Giles Harris is a day one starter at Mike linebacker. He has range. He has size. He can cover. He reads his keys quickly. He's a great tackler. This guy is a guy that can come in and start for a team. Right now, he is a round three pick, and he's falling down the way a little bit. You know, I have said multiple times here that the linebacker class is pretty poor. I actually turned him on a little bit late in the process, and he was very clearly way up the list. He's my fourth linebacker in this class right now behind the big three that everybody knows. And Maddie actually loves him as well. He kind of pointed me in his direction as well just from watching him throughout the year. Maddie, you got anything more to add on him?
No, I think you kind of said it all right there. And like, so being in Carolina, I get to see a lot of Duke games, hear a lot about Duke and North Carolina football. So Joe Giles Harris is someone I'm very familiar with. I actually disappointed twice. I've tried to go out and watch Duke football live. One time I did it with a child that was under two. Terrible idea. Don't take an under two-year-old to a football game, even if it's free. Bad idea, guys. But Joe Gales-Harris actually didn't play in either game. I believe it was a shoulder injury both times. So that's just something to look into, but I don't think it was anything serious. And yeah, I love his athleticism and, well, I love his functional athleticism and how he uses it on the field. I don't know if he's going to be a super great tester, but he looks very fluid on the field. He's fantastic in coverage. He has great eyes, whether it's against the run or dropping back into shallow zones. He sees everything really well. He's kind of like the yin to Anthony Hitchens Yang. And there's a little bit of similarities in the way that they play. They're a mental kind of guy. They process the game quickly and well. But he's athletic, which is kind of the opposite of Hitchens. He prefers to be a little bit more finesse than he does physical, which again is the opposite of Hitchens. So they kind of play the game similarly, but they approach it with a different style. So I think he's kind of a great complement to him. Now, I don't know what you do with Hitchens once you make this move, but I'm with Craig. He would probably, in my mind, he's going to win out in today's NFL as the Mike.
Yeah. And he's just going to be the future Mike. That's a future pick for certain.
I like how Matt said, you pretty much summed it all up, and then went on to explain longer than Craig did.
Do we need to go back to the beginning of this podcast where you spent 13 minutes on doing Patrick your hair? Holmes.
You know, okay, so I still owe you guys, specifically Maddie, several minutes. I am still way down on the ledger, even though I'm introing the show. Okay, so we'll just recap our picks real quick. At 29, we went to DeAndre Baker, the cornerback from Georgia, a little bit reluctantly. At 61, we went with Christian Miller, the edge from Alabama. At 63, we went with the cornerback Justin Lane from Michigan State. And at 92, we went with Joe Gales-Harris, the linebacker from Duke. We'll come back here in a minute, and we will answer your questions in a mailbag.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
We've got a lot of questions to answer in this week's mailbag. We're going to try to churn through them despite Maddie's best efforts. And we'll start with Big Red Dog 8. He asks, if the Chiefs go all in like the Rams did last year, restructure Houston, tag Ford, trade for Patrick Peterson, etc., how much do you think that hurts us going forward? Is it worth it? I'm stuck in a situation here where I struggle with this. I really like the idea of trying to have a sustained window where we are able to support Mahomes with that $30, $40 million contract down the line with quality talent, with these draft picks and stuff. So I'm kind of a little, I'm soft when it comes to trying to go all in. Maddie, where are you at?
No, I'm with you. I would rather go the route where you build a good kind of base around Mahomes and give them the Aaron Rodgers treatment and just let you get into the playoffs every year and then just hope that Mahomes is having a great stretch to get your Super Bowl rather than try to pay for it all right now and then end up paying for it in future years. The amount of teams that do this don't win the Super Bowl and then fade off into nothing. The Cardinals, we're about ready to see what happens with the Rams. The Panthers didn't really pay for it, but they just had a 1 year where they burst up there, then lost a couple guys, couldn't get it back. I don't want to be that team, because whether you win, you don't win, you're just back to not as much fun afterwards. I'd rather compete every year going forward.
And I'd rather compete every year going forward, too. But I'm going to counter-argument this. You have Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, they were not all in last year, and they were a couple plays from going to the Super Bowl. If this wins the Super Bowl, going all in, wins the Super Bowl, gets them over that hump, let's go. I'm all in. I just want that Super Bowl. Give me one, and we'll deal with that later.
If they win a Super Bowl, great. Yeah, like if you guarantee me a Super Bowl, sure. But like the Rams just tried it.
For sure.
Didn't work.
The Rams have Jared Goff and not Patrick LeVon Mahomes.
He threw the middle name in there. Let's go.
Yeah, but have you seen the pictures of Aaron Donald, Craig?
I mean, that's the fair counterpoint.
His pecs have pecs that have biceps.
Okay. At CountryBoy567 asked, the Chiefs have 8 picks. How many do they end up making?
7.
Give me a number, Craig. 7.
They're going to trade up in the first round to try and get a guy for the reasons that we talked about in the first segment, and then they're going to stay put the rest of the picks.
Yeah, I'm going with 7 as well. They might. I think they're going to trade up in the first or second round. They're going to have to give up another mid-round pick and then get a later mid or late-round pick back for it, but they're going to come away with 7. They're not taking 8 picks. Absolutely no way, in my opinion.
Give me 6. I'm saying Veach trades a couple of 7s for a 6 again like he did last year.
What a good Price is Right move by Kent. No, there's going to go one under you guys.
Hey, I almost said 9.
Please do.
Kidding. At Darren D. Piggott asks, would you trade for Jalen Ramsey? If so, what would that take to trade him for him?
I think that Jalen Ramsey kind of sets the bar a little bit higher than Marcus Peters did. Marcus Peters was the 2nd and a 4th. Jalen Ramsey, I think, is a little bit better. I do, and I don't know that the Jaguars are necessarily trying to get rid of him, so I think you'd have to come and get him. I think that he's at least a 1st, if not a 1st and a little bit more, to go up and get him. For that amount, I don't think that I would. You've got one cheap season and one 5th-year option for him. I just don't know that that's worth it.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. If the Jaguars went out and started shopping Jalen Ramsey like the Chiefs are doing with Marcus Peters, and you could get a same general kind of haul is all it took to get him, I'd be all about it. But not only is Ramsey a better player, he is a lot less of a, I don't want to say head case, but a headache for the team that he's going to be employing. He's, you know, he's a little mouthy, he gets out in the media, and some teams don't like that, but he's not causing any actual issues within the team. And whether, you know, Marcus Peters wasn't, he was causing issues between the coaching staff and at least him. So there's a little bit there that I don't think Jalen Ramsey is. So I would trade for him if it was that same kind of deal, but I think it's going to cost a lot more. I think you're looking at multiple first round picks, I think, to get him.
Yeah.
Just because he's been that good. Back-to-back years, so it's too much for me.
I think the price would be pretty high. I mean, if it was just this year's 1st and a 3rd, I'd think about it, because if you're telling me I can have DeAndre Baker for 4 years and or Jalen Ramsey for 2, I mean, I just got done saying I probably wouldn't go all in, and I don't even know if that's an all in. Having him for 2 years, I mean, that dude's a stud. So I'd think about it. But I think it would be more than a 1st and a 3rd, honestly.
At
Topelo Dylan asks, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised would you be if the Chiefs took an offensive tackle in the 1st round, Maddie?
15 out of 10. I know it's kind of a cool look to look at the contracts and see, like, you can get out of Eric Fisher's contract after this year, or even going into this year if you really wanted to, but after next year. So having an offensive tackle sit behind him and figure out what's going on, get his feet wet, looks fun. But this team is in dire need of help on the defense. And even if you want to go to the offense, I think they're going to be looking for somebody that can do anything immediately for them, which is not what an offensive tackle is going to do. I don't think this is the year you're looking for offensive tackle to replace somebody in the future. Maybe next year, depending on how this draft and free agency goes. But this year's just a year too early based on how close this team is to winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm exact same sentiments as Matt there. Even though this is a really good offensive tackle class, I mean, there's a lot of really good ones in this class. You're just not taking a guy to have him sit, and you're probably not going to cut Eric Fisher and try and start a rookie to protect Patrick Mahomes. I just don't see that happening.
And the Chiefs have, I mean, not tackles, but they found, you know, good value along the offensive line lately. So, I mean, Mahomes has been able to, you know, deal with, you know, undrafted free agents and guys off the waiver wire protecting him. So I think you're fine. At Jayhawk1108 asks, your favorite underappreciated Chiefs player from the past? Mark me down for Tony Richardson. So I was going to say Mighty Mouse, but I'm just going to give a shout out to a bunch of my coaches from college. So Anthony Davis, shout out Anthony Davis. Shout out Jonathan Quinn. Shout out Eddie Kennison. Shout out Dwayne Clemens. All my guys. So thank you guys for teaching me about football. I love you.
Hussein Abdullah for me. I always thought he was super underrated for those teams. I thought he was such a big factor when the Chiefs did have some form of defensive success those years while he was here. He was that pocket knife piece that made everybody think that Bob Sutton loved three safeties, and that's how it worked, was because of Hussein Abdullah.
Yeah, Hussein Abdullah was going to be mine. Runner-up was Dan Salamua. I don't think he got enough respect in that front. He was a hell of a player. I was happy to see him get inducted into the Ring of Honor.
Also, shout out Kimball Anders if I forgot. He was there for 1 year. He's my guy. I had his action figure. It was really cool. I was like starstruck.
Did you show up to like practice or camp with his action figure?
No, I asked for his autograph. I'm just kidding.
College Clint QB. McKenzie.
Yeah. At Clint McKenzie asks, once Landon Collins is wearing the proper uniform, woo! Sorry, I'm sorry to Ryan and Scott Hall for mentioning Landon Collins.
I'm not Landon Collins every time.
But how well or poorly will he pair with Armani Watts?
We've discussed it a little bit. Armani Watts is going to struggle a little bit to find a home in Spagnuolo's defense where there are defined roles for the safeties. They have a box safety and they have a deep safety. Armani isn't as rangy as you would like for a deep safety, especially if they in single high looks. And he's not going to play the box safety over Landon Collins. That's what he's tailor-made to do. So I don't know that Armani Watts really pairs very well with him. I think that they'd have to go out and find a guy or try and trust that Jordan Lucas is going to improve enough to be your single high deep safety back there. I think that they'd have to find somebody.
Yeah, and I see. I'm kind of on the same boat with Armani Watts. I do think Jordan Lucas could be that kind of single high safety because it's not really a single high
for
Spags.
He's coming back.
I mean,
who knows?
Listen, the Lucas locomotive is on his way back to Arrowhead. But okay, so Armani Watts.
All aboard!
Here's the
Extension
issue.
Station!
Here's the issue with Armani Watts. His athletic profile is so incredibly poor for a starting safety in the NFL. Anybody that wants to see it visualized, you go to mockdraftable.com, mockdraftable, put in his name, look at his spider chart. It is completely centered around the middle. He is in the under 20th percentile of nearly every athletic testing metric besides his broad and vertical jump. What that tells you, he's got a good first, maybe second step in a straight line when he has to change directions, run long distances, or simply just start and stop. It is not good. Add on to that, he's a smaller framed guy that had a ton of tackle troubles in college. He's not going to play in the box. That's not going to be what his forte is. He's not big enough. He's not a good enough tackler. You're going to put him back deep with limited long speed, struggling to change directions, and a guy that's super aggressive. How do you expect him to cover from, it's not even sideline to sideline, it's number to number, hash, even hash to hash is going to be difficult for him at the way he changes directions at this point in time. And that's a small area. All right, he's not a single high safety. He's a cover two safety, the guy that needs to take half the field, maybe play some robber zone. That way he can get his hands on the ball. He's very good with the ball, getting his hands on the ball when he sees it in front of him. But he cannot play deep right now. He's not big enough or a good enough tackler to play in the box. Pairing him with any other safety as a starter in the system is going to be difficult because they need to be good at one specific thing. He's kind of a jack of all trades that doesn't fit any profile of a player that excels in that position.
Yeah, so like I think unless we see like major, you know, adjustments to what Steve Spagnuolo's done historically, this is not a guy that makes a ton of sense. His best plays were as a robber that I saw, and then I was reading my article on Armani Watts when he was drafted, and it was like, you know, if he can get downhill, if he doesn't have to change directions, he's made some plays. But if there's any, you know, he's terrible in open space. Like, there's so many rough snaps of him in college trying to break down and tackle a guy, and he just could not do it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Armani Watts if Spagnuolo tries to incorporate him. What happens with him moving forward is going to be interesting. At Scott Sather asks, Sammy Watkins and our third round pick for Antonio Brown, would you pull the trigger? No. I would not. Sammy Watkins is good at football. Antonio Brown's kind of a problem right now. Like, I mean, he's a mess. I don't want to deal with him, and I don't want to give up an asset to take on that contract. I don't even really know if the contract makes sense. I didn't look at over the cap before this. The answer's no.
So Antonio Brown's off-field stuff isn't big, like some of the draft prospects we're going to talk about, or like Jeffrey Simmons that we talked about earlier in this podcast. But you want to talk about a guy that tears locker rooms apart right now? That is Antonio Brown, 2AT. This dude has gone off the complete
And Ben Roethlisberger. and Le'Veon Bell.
Antonio Brown has gone off the complete deep end right now. Like, I honestly don't know if he's mentally stable enough to play football. Like, I don't
know. Have you seen his mustache?
I don't know what is going on. Did you see his interviews on Radio Row? Hear them? Wow. Yeah. So this guy's struggling right now. He needs a new scene, but I just don't think Kansas City needs to be it at all. And I would take Sammy Watkins over him right now, even on the field, just because I don't know what Antonio Brown's going to do.
Just to put this in perspective, the Kansas City Chiefs would take a $5 million cap hit for trading Sammy Watkins and would inherit a $21.1 million cap hit for Antonio Brown. That would be $26 million for Antonio Brown next year.
It's Derek Carr money.
Oh.
But he could keep his mustache yellow with the red and yellow.
He could. He'd have to add a little red in there. But no, that's a no. You can't. Nobody wants that contract. Nobody wants it at all. Don't. Yeah, that's a no.
Ever since he was in the God's Plan video with Drake, it's just been downhill from there. At Stacey Meyer asks, how can I bide my time until football season? Well, Stacey, might I suggest the KC Draft Guide? You can find it. You can pre-order it on gum.co/KC Draft. Promo code nerd. We'll be here. We'll be talking Chiefs. We'll be talking. Immerse yourself in free agency. Immerse yourselves in the NFL draft. That's what we're doing. And honestly, I think this season might be busier than the season at times. At AAK Cody asks, do you think the Chiefs are going to bring back Keith Reeser? Dude is arguably the best defensive back in the AAF, and Veach seemed to love him coming into the season. Would add some nice depth at a position of need for Chief. We are an AAF pod now, fellas.
Why? Because we're answering one question about the AAF.
One question.
You haven't read ahead.
No,
then,
I
Craig,
didn't.
One question.
Well, but this is the first one here. Keith Reeser's very good. Brett Veach really enjoyed him. He just didn't really get the opportunities in Bob Sutton's scheme. I think that he's a guy that makes a lot of sense to be on an NFL roster going into training camp this year and trying to fight and find a home somewhere. The fact that he's playing so well in the AAF, I think that he's going to be a little more expensive. I think some teams might get into a small bidding war. Now, again, we're not talking very much money, but might get into a little bit of a bidding war for Keith Reeser to have him come in and be a training camp body and try and win a spot.
So, yeah, I'm not 100% sure if I think Reese is going to come back to Kansas City or not. Just entirely new defensive coaching staff. I think that they would get a little bit of a say if they're going to try to bring somebody back. I mean, obviously, Veach gets the final say, but I don't know if he's necessarily the best fit or if Spagnuolo or anybody's watched him and they want him back. What I am really interested to see, though, is what happens with the AAF kind of after their season's over as it relates to the NFL. How many guys do get a chance to move up? Do people get tryouts? How's that going to look? If it's going to really be a developmental league, someone's got to break through first. And do we really think Keith Reeser is the guy that's going to be the first one to break through?
I don't know. What a fantastic transition, Matthew.
God, I should take over.
You're getting very good at this. At Brandon422 asks, who will be the first player for the AAF to be called into the NFL?
Well, thanks for sending it back to me, Kent. I'm going to go with Luis Perez. There's already been a little bit of buzz about him. I think he was a fun player coming out of college. Some people really did like him. You can see when he's out there playing, he throws some really nice balls. You know, he's got a lot of work to do as a quarterback, but I think a quarterback's going to be the first one to make the breakthrough just because they're showcasing enough out there to be a third-string quarterback. Luis Perez right now has looked the best to me. I think he's the guy that's going to get the shot the most early on, especially because, like I said, you've heard the buzz already.
Well, being a Memphis Express fan that I am,
There's no one on the AA on the Memphis Express worth calling up.
Au contraire, Zach Mettenberger is getting a shot in the NFL next season because the NFL needs quarterbacks and they just need dudes. And Mettenberger threw like two passes and looked half decent at the end of the game this past weekend. So I'm going with Mettenberger.
He couldn't beat out Hackenberg for like the first 2 weeks.
I'm blaming Mike Singletary for that.
That's a major coaching error.
Honeymoon is over. I literally picked the Memphis Express because I love Mike Singletary, and I'm already done with Mike Singletary.
Well, I was going to say Garrett Goatbert, aka Garrett Gilbert, aka the AAF. Wow, that's a mouthful. Most valuable player.
That's incorrect.
They're 3-0, baby, and he's lighting it up. Let's go Charles Johnson from the Orlando Apollos. He's played well. I'm a fan of what he's done to this point. And I mean, he was kind of a fringe rosterable player already, I thought. So, I mean, the fact that he's playing there is a testament to the quality of competition and the quality of players that they've been able to acquire at the AAF level.
Yeah, so one thing real quick. Luis Perez, he was an undrafted free agent signing by into the Rams when he went undrafted. Guess who was the quarterback's coach for the Rams? Zach Taylor, who is now a coach for the Cincinnati Bengals, who may or may not have some openings at quarterback. Zach Taylor.
Okay.
So there's another connection. Also, another defensive player I wanted to throw out there, Trenton Thompson. He is a defensive tackle.
Yes.
Georgia. I had a third round grade on him last year in the draft. He had some knee issues.
Me too.
Maybe pushed him out of the NFL. I don't know how a guy as talented as he was didn't even get a shot in the NFL. So he would be a non-quarterback option I would look at early on.
That was a good call. That was a very good call. I had a third round grade on him as well. And so I don't know what that says about me. Maybe we shouldn't be mentioning that. I don't know.
Again, he had small knees.
Yeah, weak arms. At SHWeb29 says, I'm probably way too late to get this question, but I haven't had. I'm reading this. So I should just get to the question, shouldn't I? Sorry. My question is, why are we thinking about cutting Justin Houston and tagging Dee Ford? Why isn't it Houston over Ford?
All right. So, and Schweb went on to break down on his initial tweet that he linked to us here the difference in money spent by keeping Ford and cutting Houston and vice versa. And essentially, you ended up saving like $4 million by keeping Houston and letting Ford go. My issue with that move, over keeping Ford and letting Houston go, I should say. My issue with that is you are then tying yourself to the at least plateaued but maybe slightly regressing player for one more year that you know has zero chance to be back after that year given his contract. At least with Dee Ford, it may cost you $4 or $5 million more. He is ascending. Whether or not you want to talk about it being a contract year or he just finally was healthy, he is still on his way up. He has been every year in the NFL besides the one year where he missed it all with the actual back injury. He's ascending, and there's always a chance that if he stays healthy again, balls out again, he can come back to the Chiefs on a longer-term deal. So there's a long-term play there that's still available that you don't have with Houston.
Yeah, and it's actually $2.4 million, I believe, is the savings. So, yeah, I mean, I think the real question becomes, for that amount of money, who's the better player? It's not such a discernible amount of money that you've got to worry about it against the cap. They can cut Xavier Williams and make up that $2 million immediately. And so I think Dee Ford fits in this defense really, really, really well. And I've seen some people bring up some injury concerns and things like that. Justin Houston has the same injury concerns. You don't know if that guy's going to be there for you all season long. Dee Ford just recently completed 16 games. I mean, if they believe in that back and they believe that he's a guy that can play another 16 games, he's the guy that's the, as Matt said, the ascending player. So I think you got to go with Dee Ford.
I mean, Justin Houston missed more time than Dee Ford last year. So, I mean, just saying. Real quick, at Chiefs Board asks, assuming a trade up to, say, 18, who is the best fit on the board for that pick? So I'll just theorize just some names that I think the Chiefs would trade up for real quick. We got Byron Murphy. We got Brian Burns. We got Ja'Kai Polite. We got Greedy Williams. I'd throw Ed Oliver in there, but I mean, that's just me. I love Ed Oliver. I just, good football player. He's going to be a top five player on our board. Figure it out. Like, that's just my stance. It's going to be my stance. At Chief Boy RDG, last question. Who are some Breland Speaks type picks that will leave you disappointed with the draft? In other words, who would you hate to see the Chiefs take that you've seen mocked to us? Maddie?
So this is kind of a difficult one for me because Breland Speaks was so far down my board. Last year, I actually just stopped grading him because I was like, nah, this is not worth the time. So to find a pick that poorly, I don't think is going to be possible this year. But I'm going to say Jalen Ferguson. If the Chiefs go with Jalen Ferguson in the first two rounds, he kind of falls into that same Breland Speaks mold to me. I just don't think he's going to be an impact player in the NFL. Not 100% sure where you play him. I don't think he's going to provide kind of that outside pass rush that you would expect out of a first or second round pick. So he's going to be my guy. He's a decent player. He's got some things that you like, but just at that early in the draft, I want a lot more out of an edge rusher.
A guy that I've seen, I don't really hate a lot of the round one guys that have been mocked to us lately. DeAndre Baker's probably the lowest down on that list, and I still don't dislike DeAndre Baker, obviously. But a guy that I've seen a lot in like round two is Trayvon Mullen. I just think that he's a guy that can do a little bit of everything, but based on the other guys that tend to be available there, Amani Arawariye, Jawan Williams, guys like that, I think I like their upside more. I think I like what they can offer more. So I would feel like a guy like Trayvon Mullen, kind of like Breland Speaks, you're looking at the rest of the board and thinking, I wish we could have gotten a little better value, maybe a little higher ceiling than somebody like that.
For me, it's a box safety from Washington named Taylor Rapp. He's a fine football player. He's not a super dynamic guy. He is a true box safety, and his most discernible trait is that he is probably the best tackler in the draft. I don't think he's over-athletic. I don't think he's got upside as a coverage player. I don't think that he could play man against a tight end. He's a very good tackler. I think he's got some pretty good instincts. It would be an extremely underwhelming move for me to see them get a guy like him. And it's going to happen. I mean, that's going to be the play.
Ken is going into this draft this year just expecting that he's going to hate every single pick. That way, when there are picks that he likes, he could just go up from there. He's not setting the bar high. He's setting it super low.
All right, Kent. Chiefs don't get Landon Collins. They need a box safety. Do they draft Taylor Rapp or Jonathan Abram out of Mississippi State?
I would go with Jonathan Abram. I'm probably too low on him. I actually have Rapp rated higher than him right now, but I think Jonathan Abrams. I'll wind up higher on Jonathan Abram than I will Rapp. But I wouldn't want him in round one. I don't want either of those guys in round one.
Do we really think that they're going round one? Either one of those guys?
They've been mocked there a lot.
I think Abram has an outside chance because he might test pretty silly, and maybe we'll get into that on the draft show later in this week, talking about some defensive combine stuff. However, yeah, there's a chance, I think, for Abram. There's a path. Sorry, Ken, we don't need you anymore.
How about that wonderful transition? We'll talk to you next week, or we'll talk to you on Friday with the draft show, talking about the defensive side of the football, previewing the combine side of the defense. That's it for us this week. Thanks for listening. We will catch you later.
Tune in. Maybe I'm the host. Maybe Ken's the host. Maybe we have no host. You'll just never know.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.